Good day, everybody, and welcome to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. Today, I will be your host.
Hello, 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 and welcome to CanQueer. I'm Jake Nguyen, and with me are...
I'm Sebastian.
And I'm Robin.
I don't know if you noticed, but I kind of imitated Luke's usual opening, but that's obviously very, very bad.
Yeah.
He's going to hate me after this.
On today's episode, we have Robin in, and tell us why you're here and what is it that you do.
I'm currently a PhD student. I have a background in human-computer interaction or user experience or human factors or whatever label you'd like to put on it, which means I study the way that technology or the environment influences people's behaviors.
There's a related notion in social sciences called channel factors. Hmm. Is that a familiar term?
No.
Okay. So a channel factor is something that it doesn't make you behave in a way, but it sort of facilitates behavior. It makes it easier to behave in a certain way. Mm-hmm. So the classic example is if you go to like a first year undergrad class and you tell everyone, get your HPV shots, then like one of them out of 500 will. If you put the name and location of a local place that actually has the shots, maybe a dozen will go. If you do that and also discuss the benefits of it, then, you know, maybe 20 people will go. But like it just progressive. And it's because there's these things that make things easier or harder. So if you actually hand people pamphlets with a map from campus to the closest clinic with their hours of operation and contact information, you get about half of the people going because all of the barriers are gone. And it kind of, the idea is that it's like a channel, like it's channel as in like a irrigation. It's like irrigation where like people fall into the channel and they get pulled along.
Human irrigation.
And so it's just the idea that like somebody may think, oh, I should go, but I don't know when it's open. I'll look it up when I get home. And they forget to look it up and then they never get their booster shot. Every time you remove a barrier, it makes it easier.
I've heard this referred to in user interface design as dark patterns or other things like this, but like subliminal patterns of user behavior. In various contexts, you see the same goal of directing behavior in city planning when it comes to, you know, where do you put the crosswalk, here or in front of the building?
Yeah.
I always laugh when you look at a field on like a campus or another space, and there's a pathway through it of people walking across the grass so much that there's a, like... That tells me there should have been a path there.
That's called the desire line. So the reason why we're talking about all of this is it kind of feeds into another concept from social sciences, is that people react to the environment they're in. Mm-hmm. And if you put a really nice person in a crowd of jerks, they will conform because they have to, just out of self-survival. And if you put a jerk in a crowd of nice people, they will soften up or be ejected from the group. Mm-hmm. And so people adapt to their environments, they react to their environments. I mean, this is a lot of what culture is you're born into a world where everybody already has a moderately consistent behavior pattern and you adjust to that or you get alienated from society, basically. Mm-hmm. This all sounds academic, but the reason why we're here is because we're gonna be applying some of this theory to dating apps or hookup apps in some of these cases. Mm. Now, a lot of these apps are kind of known for garbage behavior, where decent people turn into monsters the moment they pick up an app where they want to get laid, basically, or even get a date. And it's really weird that the dating sites are not immune to garbage behavior. Mm. We're going to be doing a sort of an HCI cognitive walkthrough on air of some of these apps so that if there is some design feature or some property of these apps that sort of facilitates what could be loosely called garbage behavior, then we could identify that and analyze it. Some of it also is cultural issues. I mean, it could be that the first people who picked up a certain app were just universally, you know, they transferred from some previous app to that app because they wanted to get away from that. And so that app has a history of people generally being nicer or something like that. Like there's going to be cultural factors as well, but we're here to just sort of like start off by looking at the platform itself and to see if there's anything about it. As a sort of a preamble, just let's spend 2 minutes on it because we're actually not going to get into any depth. I don't have it on my phone. Neither of you have it on your phones, but let's start by talking about Tinder. Ugh. Because Tinder is known for certain kinds of behaviors. And just to sort of give you an idea of what we're talking about, my interpretation of one of the reasons why Tinder tends to attract certain kinds of garbage behavior is because you start off with the image. Mm. And then it's either yes or no. There's no such thing as maybe. Mm-mm. Maybe doesn't exist. I think there used to be a function where you could delay it until later, but it was still just yes or no. There's an image, there is a profile, but it's actually kind of tricky to click on the profile because it's like a tiny little line of text. And if you don't press on it just right, it's kind of like the classic, you know, you try to close an ad, but if you don't hit the X perfectly, you just open the ad.
Yeah.
As much as there is text attached to an image, it's hard to access. This is an app that encourages you to make totally superficial judgments on people based on one photo as well. So if it's a bad photo, you're just going to swipe left on everyone, mm-hmm. or the opposite, which is people who just swipe right on everyone.
I'm just going to take this moment to point out that you have quite accurately likened the text in the profile description of the human being behind the photo to an undesirable ad that comes up when you're trying to do something else. It is. Yeah, I think that's a really accurate parallel, unfortunately. So, I mean, there you go, like that, right away.
But if you're interested in that information, it's hard to access.
Sure.
And sometimes it can cause lag on your device, mm-hmm. because it's more designed for flying through the images.
Yeah, the primary function is to just flip between photos and to go into a secondary function of reading and digesting information is like, we didn't plan for you to actually do that. Perhaps.
All right, everybody, we're going to quickly go to a song. I'm going to take advantage of the fact that Luke is actually not here, and all of the music today is going to be the very Canadian genre of post-rock. Now, if you're not familiar with post-rock, it's sort of the natural successor of progressive rock from the 70s and 80s. Post-rock is, generally speaking, not very radio-friendly, so I had to track down some songs that were actually shorter than 20 minutes long. Anyway, we're starting off with Broken Social Scene and Shampoo Suicide.
So let's get started. I want you to see the full process. We're going to start with Grindr.
All right.
So double tap on that.
I don't even know which one it is.
It's right there at the top.
All right.
Yeah, it looks weird, eh?
Why is the icon a mask?
Because it's, I think it's at first it's supposed to be anonymous.
Oh, yeah, the mask used to have teeth on it, too.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right, here we go.
The reason why we're starting on Grindr is because it is the first geolocator dating app.
Okay. I took this picture. It's a good picture.
Oh my god.
So
she's looking at my picture.
Yeah. Sorry. I could be clearer about that. So I'm looking at just a layout of pictures,
mm-hmm.
and an ad at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
And some small icons at the top. The centered icon is highlighted. I assume it's the one that I'm in, and it's the mask icon, mm-hmm. which is still odd to me. Yeah. Okay. So fresh faces is the first category, and then who's nearby?
Fresh faces is new, and a lot of people still are unsure as to what it's meant to be and what it's meant to do.
I assume by the name, it's people you've not viewed the profile of,
actually,
or who've just kind of signed on, or something.
From the way I view it, and I kind of see the pattern and the algorithm that they use. I'm guessing it's the fresh faces are the people either new profiles that just signed up, or people actually came online after a while. Because I have seen profiles that have been like a long time, like just around.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment they've been online for like after 24 hours, they pop up on Fresh Faces,
mm-hmm.
and it's also arranged by distance as well. So the first guy you see on Fresh Face, mm-hmm. it's the closest guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there's a little dot to say online, offline. I assume.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, green dot for online, and then empty for offline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And usually if it's offline, they were recently online, because you're not going to
mm-hmm.
trigger the
problem. It wouldn't be in fresh faces.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then so this next one, who's nearby, I guess, mm-hmm. is prioritizing the nearest profiles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing an array of different representations of people. I see, like, your picture is your face.
Mm-hmm.
If you scroll down, you'll see more.
Which is nice. It says something about you. Knowing the context of that photo also informs me a little bit more, perhaps, than somebody else. But there's somebody here with no photo.
We were screwing around in IKEA.
We were at IKEA. This is a children's hat. You look very unimpressed with me for asking me to put it on, and I love this picture.
Was that a whiskey date?
No.
No, okay.
No, that was just Robin and Sebastian special. So yeah, I see one here with no photo, which mm-hmm. is interesting, and then I see some torsos, one with a head, one without, and then we've got, you know, photos that others have taken that look extraordinarily posed, and then bathroom mirror photos, and just this one's a quote, an inspirational quote in front of a mountain. That's very interesting. It's the only one there that is not a person or empty.
Mm-hmm.
Nipples, belly buttons. This is really interesting. And as you'd pointed out before we started recording, there are these broad categories of the type of photo you see.
Yeah, you can generally categorize them. And some of them carry certain connotations as well.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think it says something really interesting if you want to show me your body and not your face.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. either that your face is not important based on the interaction you're looking for, or you don't want your face to be publicly displayed and associated with this app.
Right, yeah.
Exactly.
And privately, you may show me your face if I ask and all of this, but
we
right
are
off
in
the
a
bat,
government town as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't want my face here.
Now, that said, this is not any less true in any other city.
Agreed. Yeah. I think just the internet as a whole, you'll see this behavior of here's me, but you can't find me in the real world.
Okay, so choose a profile.
Okay. Any particular requests?
Nope.
I'm interested in this nipple photo because it is literally a nipple and like a wrist, and it like, okay, it's clearly cold in there.
Yeah.
And so now I've clicked the photo, and it just makes it larger.
Yeah.
With a name, and I'm assuming this number is this person's age.
Yep.
And then there's a flame icon, and what I'm assuming is a chat box mm-hmm. icon, a star, and then a cancel button, which mm-hmm. are probably like, I want to save this for later, or I never want to see this again.
Yeah.
Which is a bizarre notion of saving a person or never. Anyway, I'm not going to get too deep into that. This person is online now, I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
So, I suppose if I wanted to go on a date with this person, I would open up the chat, but I'm assuming you might want to hit the flame first. Oh, that's how you get? Okay.
Yeah.
See, Sebastian had to actually reach over and show me how to get to the profile. everything else on the screen right now is a soft button. Right? Like, it's the star, it's the cancel, it's the this, it's the that.
Yeah. Even the picture itself is actually
these are just, they're all buttons, right?
Yeah.
So there's nothing in here that says to do anything other than push. There's no swiping, there's no scrolling, there's no long press, there's no anything at all.
I think it's just familiarity with these apps in general.
And so for context, what you have to do is scroll from the bottom of the page upward to get to the rest of the information. But there's no indication that this person's name has text under it that I need to scroll through.
Right.
Like, if I double click, I assume that might have got me behind the photo. No, it just gets me to the photo.
Yeah,
So, okay, that's interesting. Here's the profile.
Okay.
And I can read a little bit of information about this person and how he describes himself and then... Okay.
And then there's the categories down here.
And then categories of sort of physical attributes. Okay.
Height, weight, ethnicity.
Body type. Looking for. Chat, friends, networking.
Now here's something interesting.
HIV status.
Without, yes, that's a new thing actually. But something that I find very interesting, if you look at body type average, mm-hmm. okay, would you...
Nope.
No.
That's not an average body type.
That's not an average body type.
So why does this man post this especially, very clearly curated photo of his worked out chest?
Yes.
And like proper, like beautiful skin?
Yes.
And then say he has an average body type? Because what, he's humble?
Well, it's... Well, part of it is the perception of what it means to be an average body. Mm. And so whenever I think of somebody as being an average body, this is part of the problem with being an academic, especially with an academic with a history in biology. I actually look at biometrics and is like, you know, where does this person fit on the BMI? This person, for his height and weight, is actually very low mm-hmm. on the BMI. This I would call this person like
Why doesn't
slender.
He say athletic? Like that would be the body type I would associate with this body. Athletic. Average, athletic, heavy.
Or maybe slender, because if you actually zoom in, slender, you, sure. yeah, it seems like probably a bit ribby, but yeah. It's
I would like to add another layer to that context, because I do know there is also a... Everything on an app has a connotation, even body type.
Yeah. Mm.
So sometimes when you say you are athletic, it kind of implies that you are a jock.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so not just or maybe my body type, but my interests.
Yeah, for example, I'm an Asian guy, so if I put athletic, people might expect me to be more like a jock Asian who's like 5'7" tall and I'm 5'5".
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I work out, but I don't do sports, that kind of thing.
Right, like a gym rat.
So maybe if you put a certain body type and you're not exemplified of that stereotype, people might think that you're lying.
You could play rugby and you could run a half marathon every week to train for rugby, so you are an athlete, mm-hmm. but if you don't have the athlete body,
then you don't call yourself an athletic body type.
You could also be somebody who just has the genes that you can sit around, watch TV, and eat Cheetos all day, but if you have something that looks athletic, then you can call yourself athletic.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it is not, in fact, what the body type is. It is like the lifestyle you're signaling.
Yeah, it's...
In a sense.
It's all tags. You're just tagging yourself.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So the other thing is that once you're up here, so I just swipe back to the main profile, you can actually go through the profiles quickly as well.
Oh, these are separate profiles I'm seeing. Yeah. That's an ad.
And then
full
an
screen.
Ad.
Nice. Thank you, Via Rail.
Get out of there. And then, yeah, you can just sort of swipe, 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 swipe.
Okay.
And it has no impact, by the way. If you swipe through it, they have no idea. So...
Holy Ad Central.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
You can pay to have that removed, of course.
I'm sure you can. Yeah. Nice.
The reason why I mention that is because some apps, if you look at someone's profile, they know that you've looked at their profile.
So this app doesn't signal that I've looked at any of these profiles?
No. There's no added signaling.
Is that an option or it just doesn't happen?
I don't know. I've never paid for it.
No, I actually believe that Grindr is actually one of the most anonymous apps out there.
Yeah.
It does that. Okay. Like, I have been on a lot of apps. A lot of them added the tracking function, but Grindr has never added anything to track who view your profile. Mm-hmm. The closest thing they ever add is that fire button, which recently they did to compete with other apps where they have a function where you...
We'll get to that. Okay. It's... Basically like a poke. It's like a Facebook poke.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I what I was getting at before was that I suspect, based on the fact that these two icons are right next to each other, that before I chat with this person, I actually probably want to send them a little flamey flame to see if they send one back, and then we chat. Like that preliminary kind of Facebook poke.
Mm-hmm.
Been a while, or haven't talked to you, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's not the commitment of saying like, hey, how are you? But effectively, it's like... Hey,
yeah.
What's up?
So based on this app, because we do have a couple more to go through,
mm-hmm.
how do you think people interact with each other?
Frustratingly, if these ads keep coming up. Wow. I don't know. I mean, I think it's interesting that this one profile I looked at, I haven't looked at a lot of them, but it's interesting to me that people are saying, you know, like, I'm looking for chat. I'm looking for networking. So perhaps... You know, Grindr was successful in marketing itself as a social network. If people are actually going in there is this just something people say?
Yeah, quite often.
That they just are into networking and chatting so it doesn't look like they're just into no string sex?
I would say that applies to both ways, because there are people like that, but there are also people who are actually looking for a relationship up here. Mm-hmm. But that's not because of their choice, because Grindr is sometimes the easiest and the most popular app.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. people generally go for like the most popular because they think they have the best pull.
Best chances.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. It's the most downloaded of all of the apps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like if you go on like top rated apps, obviously you're going to choose the best one.
It's sort of the... Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
That's a weird one.
But, oh, that's interesting. Anyway, it's sort of like the foyer mm-hmm. to the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
The gay male community, I should say.
I can see that because, I mean, I'm seeing a variety of different picture styles, mm-hmm. a variety of different ages, a variety of everything, yeah. as well as in the profile information, you know, people who are looking for, people who aren't saying what they're looking for, yeah. people who are explicitly saying that they're looking for dating versus yeah. something else. So, I mean, it seems like a wide user base mm-hmm. in terms of, like, even just first glance, age, ethnicity, like, these things... There isn't a particular type, it doesn't seem, that's using this app. Like you said, it looks like everybody's using this app.
Yeah. So, Jake, how is your experience, generally speaking?
On Grindr?
Yeah. How do you think people communicate? Do they treat you nicely? Are they rude? Are they mean? Are they...
Excluding every other layers of my complication on Grindr, I would say it depends on who I'm talking to. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a very talkative person, but I'm very open-minded. So, you know, if someone's... Now just talk to me up and chat about random stuff and weather. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And there are those people, but most of them probably not, because the app itself is kind of geared towards, I wouldn't say hookup per se, but I would say fast connections.
Yeah, mm-hmm. superficial connections.
Superficial connections, say, yeah. because mm-hmm. If you think about it, you have a catalog of people presenting themselves, tagging themselves
yeah.
for your choosing. And you're doing the exact same thing. And it's kind of like, it's not social network in the sense that it's not Facebook. Mm-hmm. You don't contact each other and you don't keep in touch with that. But it makes it very easy to go, oh, this guy is hot. I'll message him, talk today for about 10 minutes. And mm-hmm. the next, I'll move on and talk to the next guy. Mm-hmm. Because that is easy. It's not as easy as Tinder where you say yes and no. Mm-hmm. But this is literally shopping.
Yeah.
Well, you're choosing from a menu.
It is
choosing from a menu.
Quite literally.
So let's move on to our next one. I think the next most downloaded one is Hornet.
Okay.
So we'll go with that one, top right-hand corner.
Okay. That is an intense icon.
Yes.
It's very graphically masculine.
It's also very interesting. The different apps have done the exact same trick as branding, that they each have their own signature color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, well, Grindr was a black and yellow. This is a bright orange.
Yeah, it was like goldenrod, kind of like.
So this one looks very similar, mm-hmm. with the exception of the bright orange. It's a menu of photos. It doesn't have the split between fresh faces and not, but it's the same thing. It's a tiled.
That fresh faces thing is like a month old, though.
Okay, so it's effectively, they're both a tile of photos.
Yeah.
And you scroll up and down and you just see more and more and more photos. And then there's also a green dot for online versus offline, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the buttons in this app are on the bottom. And we see, again, the flame, what looks like a search icon nearby. And then what I'm guessing is a chat bubble. Mm-hmm. And then probably a profile, my profile, maybe. It's a person with a circle around them.
Try it out.
I don't want to, like, overstep my bounds start snooping through your business.
So this is your own empty profile, because I just downloaded it for this.
And this looks like any old Instagram or anything else of who you're following, who's following you,
The way you edit your own profile in Grindr is you click on yourself.
Wow.
Yeah.
You click on your own photo, because your photo was the first one in the list.
It's your photos, your profile is always on the first one on the list.
Yeah.
And it's always in the same list as a catalog. So basically you have to buy yourself.
That's really interesting. Because here I have a separate function of just changing my profile is something I would do on any site like this. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it its own button.
Yeah.
Whereas in Grindr, like, no, you're just one of the many fish in the sea and you just need to go change yourself. And that's interesting to me. I don't know what that invites, but I find that really interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
so let's open oopsies. Damn it. Okay.
I think it's not the point. Is that orange is actually a very interesting color to choose.
I don't like the orange because that is the Android your battery is getting low color.
Yeah.
And their music app is the same color. And I always hate it because I look at it and my first sort of quick split reaction is like, uh-oh.
Time to plug in. Okay, so click on a thing.
Click a face.
Yeah.
Or a body type. Again, we see this broad category of faces versus bodies, although less of the kind of distant photos or the mirror photos.
Well, there's a reason why. And we'll see in a minute. So, just
all right. I'm gonna click another anonymous body with no face,
okay.
just to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taking a while to load. Okay, now I see the photo, and I see in the top right there's an icon of what I'm assuming are locked symbols. Does that mean he's a locked photos?
Multiple photos.
Okay.
So Grindr, you only get one photo. This one, you get multiple.
So there's already an indication that there are more photos.
Yeah.
And
the locked photos, generally speaking, are.
Like you have to be like private messaging friends.
Private messaging, but they're locked photos. I mean, I'm pretty sure you can guess what.
They're locked for a reason.
Yeah, they're locked for a reason.
Yep.
Although some people play around with it. we have a mutual friend who is now living in Toronto, and his locked photos are all pictures of fruit arranged to look like genitals.
Oh my god.
I love that.
And it's just because people are looking for genital photos, right. And so he'll send them a picture of like two onions and a carrot or two kiwis and a banana.
Amazing.
And it's really interesting because they get a laugh out of it because, yeah.
Yeah, that's, I love that. But this one doesn't have the names of the categories, so it's just
little pictures,
picture of a face, and then it says bottom, and then a picture of a search icon, and it says relationship. So I'm assuming these are things like, you know, preferred role, what are you looking for, relationship status. This one I'm assuming is HIV status because it says negative, and then the date of the last test, I'm assuming. Where you are in the world or what language you speak, even though that's actually a location icon, that's fine, whatever. That's inaccurate.
But it's, Grindr didn't acknowledge language at all.
No.
It was sort
but
of...
But it's local, right?
It is local, but...
So maybe they're making the assumption that you speak the same language.
But is that fair? Like, in Canada, French-English bilingualism is common. In California, Spanish-English bilingualism is common. Mm-hmm. In much of Europe, speaking six or seven languages is common. Even though France is French, it doesn't mean you don't have somebody there working for the UN who speaks English and Dutch. Mm-hmm. Having languages listed, I think, is very useful and very interesting and helps... I think that's a very good connectivity skill, and a feature, I should say.
And then there's a little mini URL here when I've maximized the photo.
I think that's just that
guy. It's just the profile link?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's probably the profile link.
As I said, this one's fairly new to me. Mm-hmm. Something that struck me about this is the fact that if you actually start going through the profiles...
I have to click X to go backward.
Yes.
I find that odd.
Instead of swiping. There's not a lot of text, but it does allow multiple photos. So I think this is actually a little bit more structured to resemble Instagram.
Mm.
And it's a little bit more image-oriented.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is.
Like, there is text, but it's hard to get at the text.
Also, it's, like, the details. It's also icons, not actual, like, categories. Yeah. They're not tagging themselves. It's kind of icon-related, so it's more visual.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, like the app, it's always hit me as a fast hookup app. First of all, it's Harnet, and the orange, the orange psychologically is supposed to produce dopamine, so you feel, like,
it's just
the warmth, yeah.
And then the view of the profile, everything is an icon, it's very easy to look at, so it's like, it's for someone who's looking for fast, which is not exactly social conducive.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how I get to the other photos, and I do actually have to go into the profile and then scroll down to see the rest
of them. No, actually, you can, you just... scroll
through them.
Oh, it's
upward.
Like
okay.
Yeah.
And request access.
Yeah. So those are all locked. And like the little one there is the same, even though you're scrolling through them. So that's just like
that's just the profile, the small circle on the bottom. Yeah. Interesting. And I see here it says like no posts yet. I'm assuming this is a public posting function that sometimes people will post their mood or what they're up to or how their day has gone. And it looks like nobody has, which tells me that maybe somebody put it in there hoping that people would use it, and they're not.
Well, as I said, actually, my comparison to Instagram wasn't without motivation, because if you look at younger users of Hornet, they are using it like Instagram, and they are doing things like social media links and stories and things like that. So you are seeing a little bit of a different interaction between older and younger users, because older users might be looking at it more like Grindr, which was the original, whereas a lot of the younger users, I mean, you keep coming across people in their 30s.
Mm-hmm. I suppose we could do a curated search to look for younger users. That's probably this icon that looks like an equalizer.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a filter, yeah. So if we go age and we say from, I don't know, 20 to what?
25. Yeah.
See what that does. And go. Oh, wow, you can filter by weight and everything. Let's not even think about that.
If you pay for the right...
I need to pay for the privilege of choosing the man I want to date based entirely on his body and other things that I deem important to me before I even meet him.
If you're in a, if you're somewhere like New York City or... I mean, I keep saying New York City and California. I mean, you could also throw in London and Paris. Basically, just any metropolis where there's hundreds of thousands of guys online, being able to say, I am looking for a twink 20 to 21 years old, who's this ethnicity, and da da da, you're still going to get hundreds of hits. And so in a major city...
That's such a problem. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't want to judge anyone based on their search style, but...
I just found a tidbit because I saw the link in there and I was curious.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on the Hornet website and turns out they are not just an app. They are technically a social network now because they have a web version.
Mm.
Oh, I did not know that.
They do have a web version, and if you press on the web version of community, they have stories, they have everything like Airbnb. So it's basically the like places and...
I used to TA that guy.
Okay. Well, he has posts, quote-unquote, but it's actually, it seems more like his posts are so-and-so's added a new photo, so-and-so's updated this profile. So I think posts are actually just your activity.
Yeah.
And it seems that there might be an option that says you can switch on or off your activity mm-hmm. as a newsfeed type post. I don't know if there are also posts that are like, I'm having a great day, or sitting here and doing
probably
this.
Probably for privacy, because some people would like to upload pictures and not have the date or the time tag, because that's surveillance.
I'm looking at another younger user's profile, and I think, yeah, posts are just whether or not you let the app publish your activity. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem, based on this small sample, that you can actually write a post about what you're doing or how you're feeling.
Isn't it just kind of the giving people the same like option as, do you want to use it as a dating app or do you want to use it as a social app? Because dating app, no one wants people to follow what you're doing.
Yeah.
But a social app, you would like people to know that you're still using your profile and stuff.
That's smaller true. Communities would actually benefit from having the more social aspect to it, though.
Yeah.
Because in a larger community, you don't care. You know, there's 100,000 other people.
And they've all updated their photo in the last 6 hours.
So yeah. So who cares? Whereas if it's a small town... Mm-hmm. It would be a little bit more meaningful because it's the same familiar strangers all the time. And if there's someone who you're hesitating, like, maybe I will, maybe I won't, well, you have that sort of rejection.
That is specific
shame.
To like that is specific to like the channel and like the scope of what that channel is.
Mm-hmm.
But like if you're talking about Hornet, there's no community that is defined except for gay men.
Yeah.
That is not technically a very small community if you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Grindr actually has quite a few... trans women, trans men.
Oh, yes.
Whereas Hornet, I've not seen any at all. So you see a little bit more like male spectrum.
I'll remove these filters.
I think Hornet was actually geared towards young 20 to 30 homosexuals because it seems very social network oriented and it's kind of more customized. Everything is icon, so people more noticeable for that.
Also, Hornet has a reputation for being a less hostile place for people of color.
Yeah?
I've heard a lot of...
Seriously?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of friends who are like Asian or black saying that when they use Hornet, they get way less toxic behavior. They get fewer people being shitty to them.
I should be on Hornet.
Is this just an artifact of it being newer?
Being for a younger slanted?
A younger, kind of more with a community is
it
using
might
this
be?
App? Whereas, you know, the Facebook of dating apps of Grindr, it's just everybody and their uncle.
Yeah.
So you get more
which
of that
means
crowd.
You also get more... bad behavior. Like, as I said, like, I've had more bad posts, garbage people doing garbage behavior on Grindr, but also more friendly people that actually ends up with coffee being involved.
So, I guess it's come down to, like, the proliferation of each app. So, like, you have more visibility on this app because you got more pictures, more names, and everything is geared towards the younger generation, as opposed to anonymity in Grindr.
The profiles in this app are a lot lighter.
Yeah.
Which I find interesting. Like, it's just a couple, you know, a couple icons with little tidbits of information, but I've seen very few, like, write-ups of who I am and what I like.
Oh, no, I have something to say about that.
Yeah?
After we do Scruff, which is what we're going to do next.
All right. I mean, this first piece of text that this person has said, fit, honest, not afraid to show my, like, that little quick description of self, I see way less of those on this app than I did
on the
other.
Yes, it's way more image-oriented. I mean, that's, again, why I likened it to Instagram, because Instagram does have text on it, but not everyone uses the text features. A lot of people, it's more of an image-sharing app. So this one is a little bit more visually-oriented. Let's say. But because you have multiple pictures, you can actually develop a narrative. So you can actually have, you know, like, you know, half naked at the beach, but also wearing a suit, also hanging out with friends and laughing. Ha 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 ha.
Like, show more dimension of your like your person.
Mm-hmm.
How I like this app is that it's kind of the medium between Grindr, which is kind of similar, have the same catalog, have the same interface, but at the same time, it kind of does not have as many categories or tags, so you don't have to label yourself except for your height and stuff like that. So it's it has less labels, and people use less text, so they have the encourage to talk to each other. Also, there will be less instances of like no femme, no fat, that kind of thing.
Mm.
So people are less expressive about their garbage behaviors, if you will.
Yeah, there's not as much of a platform to express your biases. Or
unless you just like message them out of the blue and be like, I hate you because you're Asian, which does happen.
Oh, yes.
And it's so bizarre. I don't understand why people burn calories on that sort of thing. Like, if I messaged you and you're like, I'm not into that, that's one thing. But if I message you to tell you that I'm not into that, like, you could be using that time to make a sandwich. You could be using that time to, like, read a book. It's just time of your finite life that you're wasting on what?
So it's like, aggressive or predatory, and there's nothing in between.
It's the idea that if, like, you are looking for something in specific, and when the other person is not giving you that specific thing, then you have two choices, either to walk away or to refer to your biases and, you know, waste your time to do it.
Right.
And most of the people who are wasting their time on this app is gonna waste more time anyway, because let's be honest, we are all on, like, if we are on dating apps or we're in social network, we spend a lot of time on it.
It's very time consuming.
It's very time consuming, and there are people who stand there and just text people and just talking, and sometimes you get sucked into, like, this hatred of either, you know, if, like, even if you just get into an argument with some very unreasonable people, that is still wasting your time on that app, and that makes... There's a guy that tried to hit on me, and I was too busy to meet him or just have coffee, and he basically just flat out told me that I am reasonably hot, but I am not hot enough to be chased, and I want to be chased, and I'm like, well, I'm sorry if I don't want to have coffee because I have school.
That is a peculiar feature of both of these apps that I've noticed that I haven't seen as much on a lot of the others, because it does feel like you're on the Amazon mirror for shopping for dudes. When people order a dude and then they're told that there's a delay, they're like, that wasn't in the contract. It's like, they message you, if you are online, it's because you're available right now. There's no such thing as...
It's your Amazon Prime.
Yeah, like, there's no such thing as, I was on here because I was bored and I had 10 minutes, and so I just quickly came on here, and are you free tomorrow afternoon? I'm in the middle of an interview right now, or I'm on the bus, or something like that. Or
you have
I'm
to be available right now.
Right now, and there's a little bit less patience when it comes to, you know, how about Thursday? Like, there's none of that.
I think there's two layers of it. First of all, yes, there are those people who have that sense of urgency. And secondly, when we first started this episode, we had a conversation about how the social network kind of, like, the app or the interface kind of facilitate that process or that motivation. I feel like sometimes that app itself is making people behave that way, because think about the economy. If you have a substitute, an easy substitute, a catalog of huge options, someone says no, there's other fish in the sea. The one thing you need to do, press back and press high on the next profile that you see.
It does feel weird, like, being rejected on Grindr. A lot of people would treat that like, if you're trying to buy a book off of Amazon and the book messages you back and says, I don't want to be read by you. And a lot of, like, the reaction of, like, that's preposterous, you're on Amazon, why don't you want to be read by me? Like, it's that same attitude sometimes.
There's also a bit of a problem, not problem, there's a bias when you're using a mobile app that you can take it with you everywhere and it is available for you 24/7 in your pocket or your bag versus a desktop website interface, right? Like, I sit down, I open my computer, I use it in the following ways, and maybe it's a laptop and maybe I bring it everywhere with me, but I have to sit down and use it intentionally. Whereas this phone, and everything I do with this phone is right now, when I want it, where I want it, and you are an extension of that by being through my phone.
So the implication is that if you use a phone for a communication aspect or to meet someone, you expect it to be immediately like the function on your phone.
Yeah.
But human are not function on the phone.
Yeah.
It's like people who get angry if you take more than 2 minutes to text them back. All right, everybody, before moving on, we're going to play a second song. This is from the Toronto group Do Make Say Think with their track In Mind.
Thank you.
Let's move on to Scruff.
Let's do it.
It has the most features, so be ready. It's all the right. Big S right there.
Scruff! Oh, look at how masculine. I can't get over how masculine some of these icons are.
I know.
Like, it's all distressed and like...
It looks like leather, like, yeah.
It's been leather pounded by steel.
Yeah.
It's for dudes.
So this has a lot going on, by the way.
Mm-hmm. So this is, similarly, I have a tiled layout of images, but there's a menu on the top that says global nearby search messages. And then above that, there's another menu. Yeah.
But the really interesting thing is it opens on global.
And then there's a menu, there are three separate menu bars.
Mm-hmm.
And then a menu icon in the top left of like, open this and I'll pop out another. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of menu.
Yeah, there's a lot of menu.
I suspect redundantly so. But yeah, it does open on global instead of nearby, which is interesting. I'll go to nearby. And it looks similar. It's just a bunch of photos. This app seems to have green for online and I'm guessing orange for away.
Yeah.
Maybe I've put my phone down or I haven't. Oh no, because this one is an airplane, so that tells me you have to select your status.
The airplane means you're not from there, that you're new to the area.
You're visiting?
You actually can program into it what your hometown is. And so the moment you open it up in another city...
It is automatic.
It indicates that you're... Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. You can also plan ahead. You can actually put... If you're going to be traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Which feeds into the global thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah, that it opens immediately on global. And all these people are online because it's a bigger pool.
Yeah.
And you prioritize the online users. But, no, and the see more is called more online guys.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Here's online global.
Mm-hmm.
New users global.
Mm-hmm.
And most...
Most woofed.
Yes.
With an apostrophe instead of an E.
Yeah, so the woof is like the Facebook poke. So this is the most woofed, and then the last category is the most woofed in the past hour. Now the thing is, if you look at the global, there's a lot of diversity.
Yeah.
There's always a lot of diversity, but when you come down here, it usually is cracked out of one of two molds.
Oh.
So most of them are 35 to 45, balding with a beard and a hairy chest.
Yep.
Sometimes you get a 25-year-old who looks like they could be a 35-year-old.
Yep.
But it's much more like, it's a little bit more categorical. Once in a while, about once a month, you see somebody here wearing a shirt, they have glasses on, mm-hmm. something like that. But mm-hmm. generally speaking, it's of a category.
Well, and if you're not, what I'm seeing here is if you're not a topless, buff, you know, very masculine individual, you are outdoors, you're wearing a ball cap, you are, like, you're doing something also masculine. Mm-hmm. It's one or the other. Either your body or your activity is signaling your masculinity.
It's not just that. What this does is it gives you a template. If you're not doing well on this app...
This is what you go to.
This is what does well.
Yep.
If you don't fit into that, you might be screwed. But as I said, every so often, like, this is how many people are getting that little, the little poke function.
Woof.
And every so often you get somebody who does not fit into this mold, and you can actually like look at their profile and be like, well, what are they doing that I'm not doing?
Mm-hmm.
That they are capable of getting to the front page.
Yeah.
So it's a really strange and interesting thing. And the other thing is I get more messages on Scruff than any other app because of the international thing. I have people from like California being like, you have an interesting profile. What mm-hmm. are you all about?
Mm-hmm.
So this, of all the social aspect and not just the hookup aspect, this I've had more actual conversations than any other app. Not only that, but like when it is somebody from Ireland some time ago messaged me, there is only conversation. If they're not flying to the city that I live in the next month, there is no hookup. They are messaging you to talk, sometimes to exchange photos. Okay, so you're looking at the actual profile.
So I've grabbed a profile just based on what you've just said, and I'm wondering if that suggests to me there's more in the profile than any of the others.
Oh, yes.
And this is just the first profile I picked. Like, I'm scrolling, there's paragraphs, I'm scrolling.
There's a lot of information.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
And then after all this information, insights, it looks like an analytics icon. But below that, there is a interested in meeting ? Not for me, or I'm interested.
So that's the swipe right, swipe left.
But it's after all the profile information, and it's textual.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I find that very interesting, because as I'm reading this text, I can't see this person's profile.
Come on. Okay. Here's the other thing that is unique that I've noticed in Scruff. You have this.
I am into what I do.
Yes. And so this... This is, okay, the reason why I like this, the reason why I find this very interesting, so I am, what's this guy? Military jock geek discreet. I am into military jock muscle college discreet. You can only do up to five, by the way.
So these are just tags.
Yeah, they're just tags, but what it means, this is the only one where the other person's desire is on the table.
Yeah.
Because the first two, they're images that you're shopping through, like Amazon. Mm-hmm. This, actually, what this does is it gives you an indication, if you message them, how likely are they to message you back?
Yeah.
There's that channel factor mm-hmm. again where it sort of facilitates, it makes you more comfortable. Mm-hmm. So like, Jake, I know that in the past you have sometimes been attracted to older gentlemen. And if you're on somebody's profile and they indicate that they're into that, you'd be more likely than if their I am into is just bears, daddy's muscle jock.
Well, of course. I mean, if you think about it, if someone's come up to you and say, I am this thing and I like music or something.
Yeah.
And if I like pop music, I'll be... First of all, if I like pop music, I'll be embarrassed, and I am. But, you know, and then if that person say that, oh, I also like pop music, before mm-hmm. I even say that, I would be more like, oh, that guy likes pop music. Maybe yep. I have a chance to talk to him, mm-hmm. because maybe he's out of my league, or maybe mm-hmm. he's, you know, with a, no, I don't know, something.
Yeah, even just, you know, not in an app, not on a social media site. In humanity, we yeah. are more comfortable disclosing information when people disclose some of their own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is a reciprocity also, I see in this app.
And there's also what I do. And what I do, not everybody puts a job. Sometimes people put hobbies. Sometimes sometimes people put sexual stuff. Like what I do kink. And so that shows up a lot.
That's what I'm into.
What I'm looking for, open to activities and interests. And people actually do put like, I really like Game of Thrones. Like that shows up there a lot.
Yeah.
So one of the things I find very interesting about this app is it has way more about the content of your person.
Way more text.
It also like the title, like I am into what I do. It humanizes a profile.
It's true. It's not than, likes, dislikes.
It's not icons. It is not dislike. It's a humanized term.
It's also about them. Yep. And not into just what you want. It's about who are they as a person. Mm-hmm. They actually become rounded out a little bit.
It also let you put tags into it, which is what I like, because a lot of things, they give you tags. And this does have tags, but these tags, you can put multiple tags on yourself, not just one. Mm-hmm. So you could be a military and a jock and, you know, a geek at the same time. You can like Game of Thrones and, you know, go out and be a soldier. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I mean, activities, I have been on Scrap before, so activities, people can put hobbies, but at the same time, if you're into kink and they are just into sex, using it as a dating app, you put it whatever kinks you have in there.
Actually, I know I have a friend in Toronto who's into sounding. And a lot of people are very turned off by it. But the thing is that
it sounds painful.
If you put it in your profile, off the table right away is everyone who's like, that's disgusting, I don't even want to talk to you. And then you have the other half who are like,
I'm into it.
Into it, or they're neutral, or they're like, you know, that's for you to do on your own time. I don't care, because otherwise I like you. I mean, it cuts out some of the early rejection system.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, similarly, as you had pointed out earlier, Jake, about, you know, this person saw a picture of my body and not my face and had to work to get to know me, and then all of a sudden finds out, you know, that I'm an Asian man, and then it flips their attitude. Like, if you put it out there right away, I'm into sounding.
And then the rest of this stuff at the bottom, so like the match feature, that's exactly like, and now it's exactly like Tinder.
So the flamey icon from the other two apps is an I think you're hot or want to talk to you poke, but here it's the same icon but with the word match, as in to strike a match, suggesting that not only is this me saying I want to tell someone I think they're hot, but that, again, that reciprocity of they think you're hot too.
Yeah.
Which, if I understand correctly, is what Tinder was intended for.
Yeah. Instead of being...
But it became a game of...
Creepy, yeah. So, I mean, and then here we have... I don't even know what this is.
Basically lets you travel to cities and plan cities. So that's where the global function goes on.
So we're for context, in the elusive bottom menu.
Yeah, so if you are going to travel to Toronto, these are the people who are there. So you can set something up before you get there if you are traveling.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And you can, I mean, if you're going to a new city and you hit it off with somebody.
It also had queerest events and stuff, which I really
like. Yeah, I'm seeing here these are events in Toronto that you might want to go to, and it's probably, if I click on this, going to give me some information.
You can even check in, and there's
a hotel.
Rooms you can stay at. Wow. There's probably Airbnb on here.
This is actually very...
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Airbnb.
Like I put Scruff third because Grindr is the most downloaded, followed by Hornet, followed by Scruff. But also I put Scruff last because it's so option rich.
I have been on Scruff before, but it's amazing.
There's
in terms of like options and so on.
Here.
Also the back button. So most apps, when you hit the back button, like the standard back button on your phone, if you're using an Android anyway, anyway, the back button takes you out of the app. So they all have some other internal way of getting away from a menu, which I find very frustrating because it kind of breaks the conformity of the back button being a back button.
Yeah, it's one of my biggest frustrations.
I think another thing is that if you have any pictures or someone show you their pictures, all of them appears here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a locked
it's arranged
icon.
By date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By time as well.
So the locked icon is private pictures
that
you've sort of collected and you can look at later, I suppose.
Well, it's not that they were collected. They just
Yeah, unlocked for you.
Yeah. So
it's collected in that.
Okay, so we're running out of time.
Mm.
Let's sort of conclude.
Let's conclude.
What are your impressions so far of those three?
I mean, Scruff obviously has the most features, perhaps to the disservice of itself, because I was a little overloaded with all the things I could do.
Yeah.
And I didn't spend a lot of time playing with it, and you had to show me how to do a couple things.
Yeah.
But it invites me to spend time with the app on my own and learn it, right?
Yeah.
So it invites that idea that this isn't something you open up and go.
Yeah.
I don't download it, type in my email, and get laid in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I open this app and I learn how to use it and I curate my profile and I read other people's and I look for inspiration on how other people are doing well on their profile. So it's much more social and it's much more human, it seems, even if it is a little more complicated. But I think, again, that complication invites you to spend more time with it rather than like a quick, I'm going to order a man off Amazon Prime.
Yeah,
he's
going
to be here in 20 minutes, you know?
And as much as there are so many features, none of them are complicated to use.
No, and most of them followed exactly what the consistent, you know, icon meant. That match icon is my favorite because it's a really great blend of the flame icon of like, I think you're hot, but also the word match. Like, I think that's a clever play on that. I really like that one. Whereas the other two, it's, you know, okay, I know exactly what that icon is, but they felt a little translucent in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I see this and then there's something there.
It's a
meme
to an
end. Yeah.
Now, the one thing about Scruff, though, is that it tends to skew old.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Why is that?
Because, again, you have to spend more time with it. You're not expecting that immediate gratification of, I turn on my phone and I do things with it and they happen in 10 minutes. You're used to things taking longer or putting in more effort for interacting with things. You're used to websites versus phones. I mean, we see this all the time in students, that they are familiar with mobile apps and iPad apps and they're really great at navigating those spaces, and then you ask them to use an application. I say this as somebody who's currently instructing students on how to use a particular program. You show them a program on their laptop or anything else, and they're a little flabbergasted at the fact that there's a horizontal scroll bar. So, you know what I mean? There's a difference in age on what you expect in the mental model that you come in with. A younger user didn't learn how to install their operating system and is terrified of blowing up their computer.
They're also,
right?
that kind of thing isn't being taught as much anymore.
We expect them to know how to do it, which is a huge disservice to them
because
they don't.
Well, in high school, they expect them to learn it in university. In university, they expect they already learned it in high school.
It's a huge problem.
But it's also just like the way that we use apps in general has been changing. So, I mean, I don't know if the current 25-year-olds in 10 years' time will age into Scruff. I think what may end up happening is Scruff will just, that generation will move up. And then maybe what will happen is like Hornet will mature and Hornet will get more text-based functions or something like that. Because we're seeing that right now with Facebook.
Yeah.
Where like Facebook is going with a generation and like Facebook is for the older people and Instagram is for younger people.
Yeah,
but what'll probably happen is in 10 years' time, Instagram will develop more text.
Yep, and it'll be an older generation and there'll be something for a younger, newer. I think that's what you see with Grindr, the sort of status quo, and then Hornet, a younger generation.
Mm-hmm,
and then Scruff, an older generation, and I think those apps will follow that cohort and just become what that cohort needs, because that's what you do when you develop an app. You stay current and you supply what's being asked for, right?
Mm-hmm. Which one do you think channels more like better behavior? Like which do you think the environments actually facilitate certain kinds of behavior? Does any of them strike you as like, it wouldn't surprise me if the people on this app behaved in the following manner?
Well, I mean, like I've said, I think Scruff is the most human because it's the most complex and it allows you to express yourself the most wholly as opposed to Tinder where you have one picture.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we looked at
there is a profile attached to Tinder, but it's buried.
Yeah, it's harder to get to in Tinder, and it was very formulaic, and not in the sense that it was a good scaffold, but in the sense that, like, this is all that's important about you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that sort of scaffold does bring out the notion that you interact with this app because, you know, you want to tick all these boxes, and people are just things, and you acquire them quickly, whereas when you go something like Scruff, there's so much more there. You have to learn how to use it. It takes a little longer, but you're looking for something that probably will take a little longer and maybe last a little longer. So I don't want to say that one is better than the other, but I think if you're looking for a longer lasting connection, you're not going to use Tinder for it.
No.
Because Tinder is a picture and a couple words.
A yes or no.
You know? And even Hornet was even fewer words.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know.
It had a bit more, like, more pictures and more possibilities to actually use images to describe yourself.
You could upload more of them, and there were more tags you could put on yourself, not just like, I'm a jock or I'm a this, so... I think we saw them in an order of wholeness in terms of complex sort of real people versus pictures of people that we collect, which is another conversation.
Yes. Well, we've definitely hit our mark in terms of time. So,
end the show?
Yes, we will. If you are listening on the radio, you can go to our website at... So I know we often like to joke that we're going to fix it in post, but every so often we muck things up so badly we kind of have to. I got the website wrong, I got the last song wrong, so here I am doing a little post-editing magic to fix it. Anyway, if you want to hear more from us, you can go to canqueer.news, or you can visit our archives at velvetstudio.ca. You can also contact us on Facebook. If you actually go to our website, you can listen to a fuller version with an extra half hour of content with Jake, Robin, and myself talking about online apps, dating, how things work, how things probably shouldn't work. We'll be playing it with our last song from another band which started off post-rock and then went another direction. Started off as a band called Manitoba but had to rename themselves for reasons I never really understood. Now they're called Caribou, and this is their track, Crayon. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.